Welcome. My name is Cheryl Robinson, and I'm a member of Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We welcome you, no matter your color, your creed, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious beliefs, occupation, status in life. We welcome diversity. If this is your first time here, we urge you to please come back and to sample several of our services, because they're all different. They can be very unique. Sometimes our minister Sandy gives the service, sometimes people who are members give the service, and other times we invite speakers in from other organizations or things that to talk on a topic we're interested in. There will be a time later in the service where new people can introduce yourself if you wish to, and we invite you to stay after the service, and we would like to get to know more about you. We have coffee. All right, I'm going to read the opening words now, which I'm sure you've heard before. It's by John Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Okay, now Dean Schroeder, who is a member of our caring committee, as is Eileen, who is doing our hymns today in accompaniment. Dean will read the chalice lighting.
This is by Robert French Levens. Our hearts reach out toward those whose ways are ways of suffering, of body, mind, or soul. May it be that we shall find us reaching out to them not only with our hearts, but with our hands also, to help them in the bearing of their burdens, to help them in the lifting of their burdens.
Thank you, Dean. There's no story for the ages today because all of our youngsters are downstairs with a large part of our adult population as well, making nifty-gifty presents to give to their family and friends for Christmas. So that's why we don't have the kids to read a story to today. Well, Prairie has had a caring committee for at least 16 years, so probably you already know quite a bit about it. Perhaps you've even been the recipient of some of its services before. But within the past year and a half, I've been told by some newer members that we should let people know more specifics and about the caring committee and how it is organized and what kinds of things we may help you and your family with. The benefits to members of Prairie to having a caring committee. So that's my first motivation for offering this service. My second motivation is to provide more understanding as to how you might join us or participate if you wish, either as a group leader, which I'll explain, or a volunteer who might very occasionally be called upon to assist us in helping members. First, let me mention that not every UU church has a caring committee. But nowadays, many do. The Reeb congregation does. I haven't checked with First Society, but I would bet they do, yeah. Okay. I started one in my church in Illinois, UU Church, and I'm glad that more UU congregations are doing this, because we UUs do a lot of social action in our towns and communities, and I think it's important that we also take care of each other as members in our own congregation. And it also strengthens our sense of community and fellowship with one another. So, how are we organized or set up? Like most Prairie committees, we do have a chairperson. Right now, that's me. Prior to that, Eileen and I were for a couple of years. And before that, Eileen was herself for at least 10 years, I think. So the chair's duties are organizing some things like recruiting new members for the committee, assigning new Prairie members to a caring group, which will be explained, and calling an occasional meeting, informing committee members or our minister if we hear something that a person may need some help, and writing a short article now and then for Prairie Fire or for congregational meeting reports. So we have six committee members that they are our group leaders. And right now they're Dean Schroeder, who just lit the chalice, okay, and Eileen, who's playing the piano today, and me, and also Aaron Bosch, Nancy Wonderland, Aunt Wonderland, and Rebecca Strong. I think you, Rebecca's here, okay. I thought everybody else was downstairs with Nifty Gifty, but Rebecca's here. Okay, thank you. So those are what we call our group leaders. Now, each group leader is a contact person for a specific number of Prairie, not number, but a person, specific group of Prairie members. And these are, if the members have an issue or a problem or an illness or an accident, the group leader will be the one that kind of initiates talking to them, seeing what they need and finding all that out, and supporting them the most. We use a sheet that has the six group leaders. Actually, Kathy Converse is an honorary member too, because she has a couple people. Anyway, this list is revised probably monthly as somebody new joins or something. So it's always on the back bulletin board, right there next to the green rectangle. So if you ever need to know who your group leader is, if you've got something you want to talk to them about, or someone else needs help and you're trying to figure out who, you can tell any one of us committee members and we'll make sure and get back to them, but we'll make sure their group leader gets back to them. But you can look right there on the board anytime you want. So contact you if we find out you have a need. And we do ask about and respect the level of confidentiality that you want in all things. And even to the point of, would you like it announced in Prairie Joys and Sorrows if you're not going to be there, and people tell us what they prefer. So we will definitely honor your confidentiality in all of our dealings. We often share with a minister, because they would like to know and need to know too. The group leaders revised our list of suggested guidelines for how we help and support Prairie members at our last meeting in February. We do a lot of things, but we've got a specific list that we kind of have to guide us, okay? So I want to go over that. We offer help to members during times of illness, life crisis, or transition, whatever that might be. An accident, birth of a child. So during these times, we call, email, send a card when a person's ill, at home, or in the hospital. We visit if we can. We check to see what the person would like for us to do. We can bring meals or do a grocery shop or take somebody, go to the pharmacy for someone to pick up medicine. If they have a doctor's appointment that very week that they're not going to be able to have anybody in their family help them, then we can sometimes arrange for ourselves to take them. So we contact also family members that have a family member or themselves when they go in the hospital to again see what people would like. Would you like some people to visit you in the hospital or not? Would you like meals for the family that's home without you? Would you like a dog walk because you're here and somebody's feeding your dog, but you might need to walk them in the summer? We contact a family at the time of a child's birth. We offer support and food and respite care for other children, because sometimes you've got a couple of other kids and you might want to get away for a while with the baby, or just get all the kids away for a while and that would be nice. So we contact people who have a planned surgery coming up to see what the person would like. Again, a post-op visit, which is often very nice, a meal or two or not. It's not always all about meals, but I do like to emphasize that that's often one of the first things we will offer, because we think of that right away. We contact people that are in bereavement to share support and listening or provide other help when an immediate family member or a good friend passes away. We perhaps share experiences and listen to a burdened member when we know they're having a life issue in their family, like an aging parent. That has helped me a lot, as my mom's 95 and been going through a lot of that with her. That isn't easy. And we can give brief respite for a caregiver if the other person in the family or the member has a long term of illness or a spouse or partner has an illness that lasts quite a while. And even when people are healthy and things are going fine, we do try to periodically check in with the members in our group, whether that's at church when we see them or calling them up or offering them a letter, an email, coffee, lunch, a walk, anything where we can kind of be with them a while and just see how things are going and catch up. We try to be good listeners and sharers of our own experience. We do not take the place of professional counseling, so we can try to refer to community agencies that help. And we refer to a minister or share with our minister when an individual is in the hospital. She likes to know for visits and support. If a person has a bereavement, we'll let the minister know that. We refer to the minister when pastoral counseling is needed, which is a very confidential type of talking through problems that are pretty intense for the person. Or if there's support needed for Friends of Prairie. We do members, if a friend's been coming a long while, the minister may reach out to them at that time. And when there are mental health needs or professional counseling needs, the minister or people in the committee can kind of see that a few referrals are suggested if we know. And if there's financial needs, that's something we refer to the minister. So we provide a variety of services and we help out in a temporary crisis. And we can't define them too hard because who knows what's gonna come up tomorrow. We try to be flexible in what we're able to provide but we urge you to tell us when assistance is no longer needed because the committee has helped you tide things over and you can be as independent as you were before the incident. Occasionally, the assistance in the ways of visits and calls may take place over a longer period of time, as in the case of people who are aging at home, and you may follow up with them every week or two to see how they're doing, especially if they live alone. Okay. Now, we also have a list of volunteers who might help any of us group leaders in providing caring services that are usually the nuts and bolts concrete kind, whether that's a meal or part of a meal or all kinds of stuff. You know, about 2 years ago, we passed around a sign-up sheet, and we got about a dozen people who said they would help us out. Now, these people help us out very occasionally. Some of them that signed up have probably never been asked. And once in a while, we have need for help with meals because it's going on for a couple weeks or something, and we'll give a call. And so it might be once or twice a year if you're a volunteer, or it might happen never that whole year. But it's nice for us to know we've got some backup and some people that are willing to do these things, you know. So I wanted to read the names I have on that list right now. Peter Anderson and Ruth Calding, because I'll tell you what some of these things are. They're very easy to do a lot of times. Kathy or Rondi Converse, Lynn Curry, Marty Dropkin, Ron Fry and Barbara Chatterton, and Andy Garst and Pam Gates and Heidi Hughes and Millie Moffitt and Deesa Pence, Chris Porter, Orange Schroeder, Patty Stockdale, and Steve Hingle, and Fern Wendekin. So that is great. And the kinds of things we ask the volunteers to do, like I said, it might be to cook a meal or part of a meal. We try to pick volunteers that are in that area of the city where the needed person, the person that needs help, is. When the camps had a baby, we had Rebecca and Nancy and a couple of other people that were kind of toward that way to make part, you know, one made a salad, one made a dessert, one made an entree and got it all over there. And you don't have to even cook because really, often a pizza is fine, a rotisserie chicken, anything you can bring to help the person. You just talk that over with them on the phone before you go. And other things that volunteers do is providing visits, walks, shopping, going to the pharmacy again, a drive to a medical appointment, bringing a book or a DVD to share, that helps sometimes, a person shut in, or reading aloud. You know, some people that are having bad sight problems love it when people will read their favorite magazine articles or a book to them when they're ill. So care for a pet, we mentioned that, walking or feeding, watering plants, checking on mail, little things that can help someone. Helping them with temporary lawn mowing, even just for one time or a week. And so those are the kinds of things that our volunteers do, and they are very useful. And at the end of the service, I will tell you how you can sign up to be a volunteer if we'd like to do that, and we'd be glad to have you. So how do we find out? When should you get a hold of your caring committee person? Your group leader on the back board, or who you know calls you when you're ill. We usually we find out the way you do, through joys and sorrows, or word of mouth through the minister or other members that kind of tell us, oh, this is going on. So in conjunction with what I've already told you about the committee, please let us know when you or a family member is going into the hospital or having surgery, or when someone close to you has died or is critically ill, or if you're struggling with a family issue, like a mom that's needing a lot of help, going into nursing home, getting Medicaid, those kinds of things. Eileen's laughing at me. Okay. When we call, if you're homebound and you'd like a couple more visits than what you're getting, let us know. And then we also like to hear life's joys. So, you know, if you're celebrating a joy and you want to call us and tell us the good news, that's great too. And or if you're feeling sad and you just want a listening ear, and maybe you've lost a job or something, that's a big deal these days. And maybe you've found a new job or been promoted. So let us, keep us in the loop if you'd like. So one way that you can benefit from our service, from Prairie having a caring committee, is they, and all we're willing to do for you and your family, is to just tell us and let us know, and don't be shy. And let me say, you already know this is true. You use our notorious for often believing that we don't need any help or want any help, okay? And that's okay. We would definitely, of course, respect that. But people have told me time and again that it just meant a lot to get a phone call from the congregation, that they were aware that you're going through maybe a few days of pain and discomfort or a difficult time, and someone from our congregation reached out to you and said, what can we do to help? Is there anything, you know, or just talked for a while, let you tell your story about that. So, you know, that can be really helpful too. It can be uplifting, and I believe it's contributes to healing, to know that we have, as a congregation, cares about how you're doing and willing to help you if you need help in the near future. It's good to know that you're valued. And as members of the committee, we are honored and eager to help you out when you have a need. We get something out of it too. That makes us feel like we're useful in helping people in the congregation, and it helps to build community in Prairie. So let me share a personal story. What really got me interested in wanting to be active in congregational caring programs was when I had a surgery 12 years ago. It was not a life-threatening matter. I was expected to be all good to go in about a week. And however, the day I came home from the hospital and for several days thereafter, some wonderful friends in the town I was living in organized amongst themselves to bring Tom and I a little casual supper each night for about a week. And no one had ever done that for us before. Now in my career, I did a lot of direct service with people with developmental disabilities and people that were differently abled and physically disabled, persons with mental health needs, the elderly in residential settings, and hospice patients. But having often been on the giving end of things, you know, I had really not been on the receiving end very much. I don't have family that would do that. So it was really a good thing. You know, it was really nice for me. And it was just, you know, some friends and acquaintances doing some small things for a person when I was under the weather, just because they wanted to. And so I'm sure that Tom and I could have gotten dinner another way, whether we, you know, kind of raided our own pantry or ordered ourselves a pizza or sent Tom out for some sandwiches or takeout. It's not often in today's world that we truly cannot access a way to get dinner, okay? But I have to tell you, I learned that those meals carried in and the companionship and the words of the people that brought them and the caring that they symbolized, it felt generous and humbling and great. It's not about the casserole, okay? It was very healing and nurturing. Nurturing not just physically, but nurturing the spirit. It feels great to feel valued by members of your own community. Cared for in small ways in body and spirit. That's important in this complicated and sometimes difficult world. And in case you're tempted to think you would never need or value this kind of nurturing, although it's hard to know until you experience it, it's not just the identified patient who can be helped by this. The family as a unit is cared for by these small acts of kindness. They may not even be part of Prairie, but they too are going through a stressful and more demanding time. And so, and additionally, in families where children are involved, I believe it's very good for them to see and learn that members of a community actively care for one another. When times get tough, maybe we could all benefit from allowing ourselves to lean a little on each other. No matter how self-sufficient and capable we are, life does hand us many unexpected things, and we think, now what am I going to do? So consider sharing it, and let our group leaders and people come forth and give you a small act of aid, some comforting words, or maybe the sharing of a similar experience that they had and what was helpful or useful. The naming of a resource, the acknowledgement of the circumstances of your life being important to others who know and care about you and what's happening to you and your loved ones. Again, I assure you that the members of the team get much out of this too. The satisfaction of knowing that we helped to brighten a day, made someone's difficult time a little bit easier, that we're trying to make a small positive difference in the world, one person and one family at a time. Because our small deeds are most often tangible, we see the results and we know we did something, however small, to be an active part of the interconnected web of life, right here among our own fellowship members, society members. If you have had a difficult time recently and the caring committee was not mobilized, know that it's only because we probably didn't find out about your circumstances in time. Fortunately, at Prairie, many of these helpful deeds take place spontaneously organized in our community. So I think that's great, and I know there are many who have gotten involved. We'll call a person and they'll say, well, so-and-so has already gotten that done for me. Not even their own family members, but somebody from Prairie. So I know that that's a whole nother way that people get help in our congregation. So if you would like to join us as a group leader, then please let me know. If you would like to join us as a very once-in-a-while volunteer, I have put out this yellow-ish page, sheet, on the table in the back of the commons area there. It's brief. Please fill it out. You can return it to me today, if you will. We feel the Caring Committee is an important ministry of Prairie, and we would like to have your help. And when any of you need a little extra assistance, we would love to help you. And after all, as Ram Dass said, we're all just walking each other home. Go in peace. We extinguish the flame. Let the light shine on in us. And greet your neighbors.